Hey. Wow. This place is beautiful, isn't it? This is the place I used to come as a kid growing up with my family. Now that I'm a little bit older, I used to plague my family up here too. Now this is the place that is my church. You know, my parents felt the same way that I do about organized religion growing up. They chose to keep us protected from the hypocrisy that they were forced to grow up with. I mean, I could never understand why those people that claimed to follow Jesus were the same ones that really acted nothing like him. I mean, Jesus, that's a superhero. I mean, think about it. He heals people. He walks on water. He turns water into wine. He's great at parties. I heard he flies. I mean, come on. I'm surprised that the church doesn't have a lawsuit against Marvel. But Jesus, I mean, I'm here today on this Easter Sunday under some very, very powerful forces, also known as my wife, to take a spiritual walkabout. You see, I've come to the point in my life where I need to decide if I can believe in a God that's let the world turn out this way. It's meant my world turn out this way. Ooh, wow. Well, you have yourself a great day. Maybe we'll see you up the trail.
I remember many Easters with a similar thought. And maybe some of you are thinking the same today. You know, do these people really believe this stuff? Jesus, the Son of God, you know, died and buried and then risen from the dead? I mean, I'd never seen anyone risen, right? Seen people who look like the living dead, but not risen from the dead. But I'm pretty sure it was just the party the night before. But that was me, skeptical, cynical, analytical engineer. And quite honestly, that was many of us here today. So what got us from there to here? I want to share with you a few of those reasons today. I don't have time to share with you all the reasons, but I want to share a few. And then next week, you're going to hear some of the scientific reasons from Dr. Reyna. And then we're going to do a Q&A after that. So bring your questions. But today, I want to talk about the few of the reasons we celebrate Easter. And you know, the most important starts with that I discovered a God that is real and actually created every person from every nation in love. That God actually wants a love relationship with everyone he created. That's why he doesn't force himself on us, because it's even why it stays somewhat hidden, because love can't be forced, not even by God. And I hope you see that today, because the central message of Easter was really God's demonstration in history of how much your Creator loves and cares for you personally. Now, I want to say, if you're here and you have faith today, I want you to ask yourself, am I living as if this is true every day? Because, you know, if what we're about to talk about is true, nothing matters more, right? And maybe if you're here as a skeptic, I want to challenge you to just take a silent moment, a second, before we start, and take a risk. Just try something. If you're willing, just say, God, I don't know if you're real, but if you're real, then I want to be open. I want to be open and willing to hear from you. Speak to my soul today. And if you're humble and you're honest, watch how God will meet you in that. Let me give you just a silent moment. Can we really prove God's existence? Well, Not in terms of scientific proof, no. You know, we can't do repeatable experiments and 9 out of 10 times end up with God in a test tube. So the scientific method doesn't work, but that's not actually a problem because we can't prove most things by the scientific method, but we can prove many things by the legal historical method. For instance, we don't know that dinosaurs existed because of the scientific method. You can't repeatedly observe dinosaurs being created, but we do have historical evidence. We have fossil evidence. And it's good evidence. In fact, do you know that we even have evidence of what dinosaurs ate by studying fossil poo? I know, but it's true. Can you imagine at a party trying to explain that one? Well, I study poo. I'm a pooologist, you know? That would go over worse than I'm a pastor at a party. But just like there is dinosaur evidence that quite honestly is pretty much beyond a reasonable doubt, just like you look for in a court of law, right? You look for proof beyond a reasonable doubt, but not beyond any doubt. And that's important because I could always doubt that dinosaurs ever existed. It just wouldn't be very reasonable given all the evidence. But the same is true for the evidence of God. And many smart lawyers and professors and very smart minds have found the same true. Now, the rule of legal evidence is that we take an eyewitness's account at his or her word unless they are shown to be unreliable. So what is some of the evidence? Well, first, God foretold that first Easter for thousands of years in advance. And by the way, if you weren't here for the past 5 weeks, go on our app or go on our website and watch that Outlaw series because I took you through the many signs that God put in history leading up to that first Easter. And I showed you how in the Dead Sea Scrolls, we found the books, almost all but one of the books of the Old Testament predating Jesus. Isaiah and Daniel in particular, carbon dated before Jesus was born. And yet in those books, God foretold where the Messiah, Son of God, would come and reveal the infinite, unseen God in a form we could relate to. Because that's what God wants, relationship. And God said, here's how you'll know I'm truly the creator. I exist outside of time and space, so I alone know and can foretell what's going to happen. And he said, the mighty God would come as a son, a child, and then live in Galilee and demonstrate God's compassion, healing our diseases and freeing the oppressed, and bring a new kind of peace, not like the world can give, a peace that only comes from starting with peace with God. And then God foretold when. And I showed you a timeline in Daniel, which was written in 500 BC, 500 years before Christ, and showing that the Messiah would come to Jerusalem in 26 AD, then be killed, then the temple in Jerusalem destroyed, and it all happened in real history. The Romans wiped out Jerusalem and the temple in 70 AD. It's not been rebuilt for 2,000 years since, and yet Jesus the Messiah came right before its destruction. He was crucified, and the Jewish Talmud even tells us why. It says this, on the eve of Passover, they hung Jesus of Nazareth for sorcery and leading Israel astray. This is crazy. The religious power brokers of Jesus' day, who he called out for their hypocrisy, hated him but couldn't deny his miracles, so called it sorcery and had him crucified, took him out. So where and when? And God even foretold why and how Messiah would die. So 700 years before Jesus, the prophet Isaiah wrote this, but he, Messiah, was pierced for our transgressions. They drove nails into his wrists and into his ankles. And the eyewitnesses say, as they did, he cried out, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And then Isaiah goes on, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity or wrongs of us all. He was cut off from the land of the living. But after he suffered, he will see the light of life, resurrection, and be satisfied. And friends, we have proof in the Dead Sea Scrolls. All this was written before it ever happened to Jesus. God foretold this unique, singular thing he would do through Jesus in history. And why? Isaiah said it. Because of all of us have turned away from God. We seek our own will and ways more than we seek God's loving will and ways. And that's why the world is such a mess. We all play God. We try to control everything and everyone to go according to our will. When all God wants is for us to trust him. That he loves us. That he wants not only our best, but everyone's best. And as we follow him, to let him teach us to love one another like he loves us. He wants us to come back like children who've rebelled and run away. You know, I remember when I was in the fourth grade, my new friend Craig asked me to spend the night, and my parents said no. And I was so angry. I mean, they didn't know what they were talking about. This kid was cool, right? I should be able to spend the night. And I was going to fight for my right to
party.
No, to spend the night. I knew I'd get you, though. Yes, and I lost. So I packed up my G.I. Joe backpack and I ran away from home. 25 feet out the front door and 40 feet up into my secret tree fort. And I stayed there until it was getting dark and my parents started to panic and I could see their worry and I was so excited because I didn't have to live with their silly rules anymore. I was free. And then they started driving the neighborhood as it started to get colder and, you know, I started to get a little hungry. And I thought, well, I will miss my mom's cooking. She's a good cook, you know. And then I realized, you know, I hadn't packed any money or food in my backpack, just the essentials. You know, baseball glove, trading cards, a dirty shirt, you know. And I started thinking, where am I going to get food? And then I saw a police car circling and I heard more and more panic with my parents, but I didn't need them anymore. But I did. As it got colder, I put on the second shirt. Started thinking how warm my bed was. And I would miss my mom kissing me goodnight, my dad playing chess and baseball, and my sister and my dog. But I didn't need them. And their stupid rules. And I stayed up there almost all night long, miserable. The next summer, Craig and his older brother robbed our house. You ever had a night like that with God? Or maybe a decade or a life? Where maybe you did something stupid or you got hurt and you just ran away from God and pride got in your way. You so wanted to come home, but maybe you were afraid of the consequences or maybe just too proud to admit you were wrong. It happens with us and God. But he created us from every nation to be his children. You know, and all he wants is for us to come home. You know, it's interesting. Every religion's holy books that we all agree on basic right and wrong, God's put it in our hearts. It's why it comes out in our religious text. And yet we all consistently do wrong, even knowing right. Yet Easter is God's price that he was willing to pay for all his children to come back home if they're just willing. 1 Peter 3 says, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for us sinners to bring you safely home to God. Jesus made a way for God to be just and still forgive and take us back home. He paid the debt that we owed. You know, when I finally came home that night, my parents literally ran to me and hugged me and grounded me for 2 years. No, actually they didn't even punish me because they saw that my heart had changed. And friends, God's not sitting there waiting to punish you for turning back to him. He's already paid the price. Jesus even said that he's like a father who comes running and hugs his lost runaway son or daughter. Maybe this Easter is the time for you to get out of the pride of your tree fort and just come home to God. He paid the greatest price to forgive you. And you know what? There's even medical evidence for that. Over the years, you know, people have claimed that Jesus didn't really die. The Quran claims that Jesus was the Messiah, but he didn't actually die. Others throughout the years have claimed that he went through all of it, but he revived somehow in the tomb. that somehow after 40 lashings with his back ripped open and having a nail, a crown of thorns nailed into his head, and then big spikes through his wrists and his ankles, hanging on a cross for 6 hours, he somehow revived in the tomb, and not only convinced the disciples he was alive and didn't look like a zombie, he convinced them that he was risen in power. No, I think it's much more likely they would have thought that he needed help rather than he needed worship, right? But second, it doesn't fit the evidence. You know, Dr. Alexandra Metherell is a research scientist from the University of California, has an MD and a doctorate in engineering. He studied Roman crucifixion. He said many died from the flogging that Jesus took. Eyewitnesses say Jesus couldn't even make it up with his cross up the hill. Someone else had to carry it for him. And Dr. Metherell says even before Jesus died, and this is important too, the hypovolemic shock would have caused a sustained rapid heart rate that would have contributed to heart failure, resulting in the collection of fluid in the membrane around his heart called a pericardial effusion. Now, why is that so important? Well, because 1,000 years before Jesus hung on the cross, God foretold it through through David, who wrote the Psalms. Psalm 22, my God, why have you abandoned me? Jesus cried that out 1,000 years later. My life is poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint from hanging. My heart is like wax melting within me. An evil gang closes in on me. They've pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They divide my garments among themselves and throw dice for my clothing. David writes this 1,000 years before the eyewitnesses record this is exactly what happened to Jesus. And he records crucifixion before crucifixion was a known form of punishment. It wasn't even known before the Roman Empire. And yet his bones are out of joint and his heart is like wax melting within him. Jesus died of heart failure, not crucifixion. See, crucifixion, normally you die from asphyxiation when you collapse in your lungs, you can't breathe, you can't push up anymore. That's why the Roman soldiers would often break their legs to speed up the process. But amazingly, John, the eyewitness of Jesus' death, writes this. The soldiers came and broke the legs of the two men crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, they saw he was already dead, so they didn't break his legs. One of the soldiers, however, pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water flowed out. Why water? Well, Dr. Metherell explains, John reported what he couldn't have known the significance of, the medical evidence of heart failure. Metherell says the spear apparently went through the right lung into the heart, and when the spear was pulled out, some fluid, the pericardial effusion, came out. This would have appeared like clear fluid, like water, followed by a large volume of blood, as the eyewitness John described in his gospel. At that moment that Jesus cried out, my God, why have you abandoned me? He experienced the results of all our sins, of humanity of all times, that separates us from God, and it crushed his heart. Dr. William Edwards studied it as well and wrote in the journal, The American Medical Association, clearly the weight of the historical and medical evidence indicates Jesus was dead before the wound in his side was inflicted. Accordingly, interpretations based on the assumption that Jesus did not die on the cross appear to be at odds with modern medical knowledge. And yet, they never found a body. There was a missing body. See, Jesus' closest followers claimed he appeared to them, first to the women, then to the 11 of his male disciples, and then to over 500 eyewitnesses all at the same time over the next 40 days. Now, if the body wasn't actually missing, the Romans who crucified Jesus wanted to keep the peace. The Pharisees who asked the Romans for a guard because they didn't want a false resurrection. They didn't want the disciples stealing the body because they knew that Jesus had claimed this would happen. They could have just all produced the body and put an end to the lie. But the tomb was empty. Now, if you're not prejudiced against the eyewitnesses, there really is strong evidence they're telling the truth because they all claim the women saw Jesus risen first. Why is that important? Well, because in Roman and Jewish law, a woman was not even allowed to testify in a court of law. Not right, not fair, but she wasn't, her testimony was not valid. And yet, why would these men make this up? That women saw Jesus risen first. It only discredits their story, unless they were just telling the ugly truth. The guys were afraid of getting killed too, and they ran and hid, but the women stayed at the cross and then went to prepare Jesus' body. It's a great reminder too of God's character. He dignifies and honors those the world oppresses and calls worthless or marginalizes. But even more compelling, I find, is the evidence of the changed lives. You know, the 27 books of the New Testament are full of testimony of changed lives. But even outside the Bible, in extra-biblical history, we can know lots of things. Let me just tell you three of them. One, we can know a man named Jesus of the town of Nazareth in Galilee lived during the reign of Tiberius Caesar, who lived those years. Second, we can know that Jesus had a brother, stepbrother, named James, who became a leader among the Christians and was martyred for his faith in Jesus as Lord God and Messiah. Think about that for a second. You can fool a lot of people. You can't fool your stepbrother. I mean, if I ever bump my head and I start claiming I'm perfect and Messiah, just go ask my sister. She'll set the record straight right away, right? Yet James says that Jesus appeared to him risen, and it changed his mind. He proclaimed Jesus as Savior of the world. He got no worldly goods or recognition. He was persecuted in Jerusalem for 30 years until finally they martyred him for faith in Jesus. Now, people will die because they're deceived. People die for wrong reasons. Terrorists do it all the time. But if Jesus didn't appear to James risen and James lied and knew he lied, people don't die for a lie they know is a lie. It's not worth it. And yet history also tells us the impact of Jesus' life upon his disciples was so great that within 16 to 80 years after his death, vast numbers of his followers were willing to die for their conviction that Jesus lived, died, and rose again on their behalf. This is extra-biblical evidence saying vast numbers of people, not just right after, but for the next 80 years would proclaim that Jesus was the risen Son of God. They didn't get power or wealth from it. They were a very persecuted minority at first, and yet they loved their enemies. In fact, Christian faith overcame the Roman Empire over the next 300 years, not by the sword, but by love. How do you explain that kind of love in so many? And Jesus is still changing lives today. You know, this Christmas, I talked to a Hindu woman here at Gateway who had become so despairing she decided to take her life. But she had come a couple of times and she had heard us say, you know, just pray this, the seeker's prayer. God, I don't even know if you're real, but if you are, and you really did reveal yourself through Jesus so we could know and love you and know how much you love us, I'm open. I'm willing to follow you. And she came running up after Christmas and she said, he did. I said, what do you mean he did? He said, he did. He's alive and he loves me and he's forgiven me. And he spared her from the worst kind of evil. Now, God will make himself known to you too. Maybe not physically, he never has to me. But if you're 100% willing to seek him and follow him, you will realize how real he is, just like I have, and so many others. And there's lots of evidence if you're analytical like me and you want it. But you know what I find honestly? Lack of evidence is usually not the reason people reject or run away from God. It's because he let them down. It's because God didn't do what we hoped or expected, and we conclude, well, then he isn't good, or he doesn't love us, or he just isn't real. But God does care. Through all of your heartache and pain and suffering, God has always been there. He enters our pain and suffering to take us through it to something better on the other side, if we'll let him. And Easter is the proof of how much he cares. Thank you.
It's quiet in this house up on a hill. You won't mind it. Some things you can't know till you're still in the silence, where your spinning thoughts slow down in the stillness. Things have a way of working out. Allow me to introduce myself again. I'm the one who knew you before time began. I've been waiting for you to let me be. Take your chances. There's nothing here to lose. Ask your questions. I promise you the truth as you're ready. I wanna hear your heart. Is it heavy?
Having a really, really, really hard time believing in you right now. Why is the world like this? Why? Why did you rig the game this way? Why are the best people I know the first ones that get taken away? Why don't you just come back again? It's been like 2,000 years. I mean, that's quite an intermission. How do I connect with you when you're not here? When I can't see you? When I can't touch you? I feel something, but I don't know if it's you or just pizza. I want to believe that you love us, that you created a place other than this, that you created a place where there's no more pain. I want to see you, but most of all, I want to see my son again. Out there, help me understand.
I'll meet you in the house up on a hill. How I want to show you I am real. Allow me to introduce myself again. I'm the love you used to think could not exist. I'm
Whatever you've been through, God's been there all along. Easter is his answer to all our pain and our suffering. By his wounds, we were healed. He suffers with us. He says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. When you and I suffer in pain, God is not far away. It's when he moves closest, wanting to deliver us. But how does he deliver us? Because that sure doesn't mean we don't feel it, right? We do feel it. All people suffer, good and bad alike. But some come out bitter. Some come out better. God wants to lead us through it, to deliver us, to be better through it. If you've ever wondered, why didn't God just use his power? Why didn't he use force to do away, stop all the oppression and injustice? He has, and he will. He came and took all of it on himself. He paid for it so that all who choose can be set free from its effects forever, so that we can learn to overcome evil with good. And he will one day come with power and stop it all. But then it will be too late for those who are proud and willful and never choose forgiveness. And so God in love waits. Motivated by love, he doesn't force our will. He doesn't force us to love him or follow him. But the consequences is a world at war against God and each other. And yet God has compassion so much he enters our suffering that first Easter. So we'll let him guide us through the trials of life to learn to love each other the way he loves us. So why does Easter matter? You remember the first funeral you ever attended? Remember seeing someone you love laying lifeless? And for me, it was my father. They don't belong there, right? They belong back with us. We belong together. Well, Easter is not just the promise that Jesus rose from the dead, but the promise that all who trust in him overcome death. We will be together with God for eternity. And that's where God's loving will be done, always. Because everyone there has learned to trust his will, even in this broken, evil world. And Jesus' death and resurrection matters because those who trust in him, he promises he'll forgive us of our wrongs, past, present, and even future. He paid the debt we owed to God. And then that sacrifice enables us to forgive and love others just as he forgives and loves us. And Jesus' death and resurrection matters because it's the price God paid to adopt you as his own child. But you know, just like a foster child in middle school who gets a choice whether he wants to be adopted or not, each of us have to choose. Do you want relationship with God or not? Scripture says this in John 1:11. Jesus came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Jesus paid the highest price a human can pay, his very life, to show how much you're worth to God. And because of that death and resurrection, all God requires is this: believe and receive and then become. You believe or trust that God really did send Jesus to show his character, to show his relatability, to show what the unseen God is like, But not only that, you have to receive his forgiveness and his leadership as God of your life, and then his promises, you become his adopted child forever. He's made it that simple. See, Jesus didn't come to start a religion. Jesus came to lead all people from all religious backgrounds into relationship with God forever. Maybe today is the day for you to tell God, for the first time maybe, Jesus, I want what you did to count for me. I want your forgiveness and your leadership. Come be God of my life. And think about it. What do you really have to lose? Life is short, but you have everything to gain for eternity if this is true. Or maybe this Easter, it's time to get out of your tree fort, to let go of your pride and just come home. Just come home this Easter. Or maybe this Easter is the time to get serious about trusting God fully, to let him lead you out of complacency and into an adventurous faith where you really get to know God in a personal way. Whatever it is, make a decision this Easter what you're going to do with the risen Jesus. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much that you've given us all kinds of analytical evidence, enough that if we really want evidence, we can find enough to believe beyond a reasonable doubt. But you've also given us relational evidence that you're good and loving and compassionate. You're not ready to condemn us. You're ready to forgive us and run to us like a father or a mother who's missing their beloved child. So God, some of us just want to come home to you and say, forgive me. I want your leadership. Just tell them in your heart. And for all of us, Lord, who've decided that, God, we want to follow you fully. This is the most important thing in life, to love you and let you teach us to boldly love others like you love us. So God, make us more and more into those kinds of people, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hey, why don't you stand and let's go out celebrating the message of Easter, Austin style, with a little Johnny Cash.